Penguin Random House Audio presents The Color of Light by Karen White. Read for you by Brittany Presley. This book is dedicated to my precious Megan, who gave me the title, and to my God, from whom all good things come. But such a tide as moving seems asleep, too full for sound and foam, when that which drew from out the boundless deep turns again home. Crossing the Bar, Alfred Lord Tennyson. Chapter 1. Jillian Parrish stood barefoot in her backyard, her toes curled into the cool grass, and wrapped her hands around the neck of her telescope. Peering through the narrow opening and pushing back her fear of dark spaces, she focused on the pinpoints of light that made up the constellation of Centaurus. She stepped back slowly, gazing out at the night sky, pretending the grass beneath her feet was gritty sand, and that she could actually hear the ancient rhythm of the ocean rocking the stars to sleep. She thought of the immortal centaur as he begged the gods to end his suffering, and how Zeus had mercifully let him die and then given him a place among the stars. She sat down on the grass, wishing she had such an option. She spun the rings on her finger and shrugged. Her ex-husband wouldn't care, and her parents would simply not allow it. It would cause them the inconvenience of having to recall her name for the police report and see her each time she rose high above them in the heavens, her celestial face a constant reminder of their failure to create a child worthy of their notice. She looked at the tiny diamond engagement ring nestled next to her grandmother's gold band. Yes, there were other points of refuge besides being relegated to dangling in the sky for eternity. But as she had learned, they each carried a price. With one swift motion, she wrenched the diamond ring off her finger and threw it high into the night sky, the white stone blinking once in the light from the back porch bulb and then dropping back to earth like a falling star. Hoisting herself up, Jillian sighed, silently thanking her grandmother for teaching her about fairy tales and mythology to soften the sharp edges of the life into which she had been born. Not that they had done anything to prepare her for ambitious young waitresses at Hooters, or a husband who had finally given up trying to get as much love as he gave in a marriage. Closing up the tripod and lifting the telescope, Jillian stumbled through the overgrown grass to the house to finish packing. She paused on the back steps, staring out into the Georgia night sky one last time. A shooting star blazed away its brief life across the heavens, and just as suddenly, Jillian Parrish Ryan saw her life with the clarity of a woman full grown. At 32 years old, she could finally stop believing in fairy tales and happily ever afters and begin to recognize what really lived in the dark space under her bed.
Jelly Bean?
Keeping a hand on the expanding girth of her pregnant belly, Jillian turned to her 7-year-old daughter, the late March sun kissing her light blonde hair and spinning it into gold. She slammed the back door of the Volvo wagon before answering. What, sweetie?
Will the Easter Bunny be able to find our new house?
She had forgotten all about bunnies, chocolate eggs, and pastel hats. In the blur of the 3 months since the divorce, she had found it difficult to remember to wash her hair or get out of bed, much less remember that Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny still roamed the landscape of her life. She lifted her hands and rubbed at her temples in the feeble hope that it might dissipate the headache that seemed to loom just below the surface. Damn, she said under her breath.
You shouldn't swear.
Grace tilted her face expectantly toward her mother. Jillian looked at her as if really seeing her for the first time in months, and noticed that the blonde bangs were too long. Her gaze dipped lower, and she saw the sparkly red Dorothy shoes on the little feet, shoes she vaguely remembered throwing in the garbage. At least they weren't white. Never white shoes before Easter. Jillian stopped herself in time, Her mother's teachings always seemed to pick the worst times to come back and haunt her. Jillian moved the hair off her daughter's pale forehead. Sorry. You're right. I shouldn't swear. And the Easter Bunny will find you, Gracie. Promise. Grace climbed into the back seat of the car.
Where's Spot?
As if on cue, a black and gray striped feline streaked past Jillian and into the car, settling its plump bottom onto Grace's lap. He gazed at Jillian with cool green eyes, and a look of understanding settled between them. I'll tolerate you in these close quarters, and you'll tolerate me. It's just the three of us, and we've got to learn how to get along. Jillian watched as Grace hugged the cat that thought it was a dog and sent him a look of acknowledgement before shutting the door. With one last look at the brick colonial that had been the cornerstone of her life for almost 10 years, she spied Rick's rocking chair, the one piece of furniture he wanted and that had not been sold, moved, or put into storage. It shifted in the wind as if waving goodbye, the final assault on Jillian's nerves. Climbing up the steps, she took the piece of gum out of her mouth and stuck it to the wicker seat where it would melt in the unseasonably hot March sun. Then, without another glance, she climbed behind the steering wheel, the child inside her kicking furiously in protest, and put the car in gear to begin the longest journey of her life. The distance between Atlanta and Pawleys Island, South Carolina, was not particularly long or difficult, yet her hands clutched the steering wheel in a white-knuckled grasp the entire way. She'd never been on her own before, never traveled any distance at all sitting in the driver's seat. She'd always been a granddaughter or daughter and then a wife, all of which excused her from the necessity of sitting behind the steering wheel and determining which direction she should go. Inching forward in the right lane, she hugged the shoulder and ignored the glances from other drivers as they veered around her, leaving her in their hasty dust. Gracie sang to herself as she colored in her coloring books, and then slept. Spot nestled next to her, his watchful eyes finally closing. Jillian risked another glance in the rearview mirror and saw Grace's little mouth turned upward in a smile. Grandma Parrish said Jillian used to smile in her sleep, too. It's what happens, she'd explained, when little children talk to the angels. Jillian smirked as she faced the road again. If only the angels would give her a few minutes of their time, she could give them an earful. Her daughter sighed and turned her head, and Jillian caught sight of the single dimple on her left cheek as she grinned a lazy sleeper's grin. Jillian's throat tightened, and she realized anew why she had named her Grace. Since her birth, her daughter had been the one patch of thick green grass on the stony mountain of her years in this world. They didn't have anything in common, and they didn't even resemble each other. But somewhere deep down, she felt that there was something that anchored the two of them together. She just wasn't sure what it was. Jillian looked away, feeling the gnawing guilt hit her again. The guilt of knowing that she had never wanted to bring a child into this world in the first place. She almost laughed when the baby inside her kicked her ribs, reminding her of his presence. Two children. How had this happened? She did laugh softly this time, finding it so much easier than the alternative. Traffic thinned as she turned off onto Highway 501 South, and she found the courage to reach over to the radio and turn up the music from a country station. A heavy veil of purple-tinged clouds cupped the sky like a father's hand under his newborn's head, and her spirit shifted in the sludge around her soul. Although she had called Atlanta home for more than 30 years, the briny air of the salt marshes of South Carolina's low country always welcomed her back as an absent and much-loved daughter. Perhaps it was the memories of South Carolina summers that made the humid air and waving palmettos seem more like home than the city she was raised in. Jillian had been allowed to visit her grandmother at her beach house on Pawleys Island every year, and those summers still lived in Jillian's memory as bright spots on the bleak horizon of her childhood. The long days spent with Grandma Parrish had been days filled with clam digging and shell collecting. And then, as she grew older...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?